During the month of October, the church reads out of the books of Maccabees in the divine liturgy, in the prayer book of the priest. And at the end of the month, we get several very beautiful stories that I wanted to talk about that are very well suited to this feast that we celebrate today. The books of Maccabees in general are about a period in Jewish history when the pagan Greek Empire invaded the land of Israel, and they tried to stop the Jews from practicing the true religion, and they instituted a terrible persecution throughout Israel. In the beginning of the book, we start out with the Greeks having invaded Israel, and they're going from town to town, forcing people to offer sacrifice to their pagan gods. The pagan emperor sent a messenger from one town to the next to make people offer the pagan sacrifice. Well, they came to a town that was under the rule of a man named Mathathias, who was a holy man, and he had five sons. They were the Maccabees. Their last name was Maccabee. The messenger called him up and said that he was a leader of the town, so he had to go first. Mathathias became indignant at this outrage against God, and he told him that he refused to sacrifice to the gods of the Greeks. And while he was speaking, he saw a Jew go up to the pagan altar to offer the sacrifice and apostatize. And he had just had enough. And he ran up and he killed the apostate right then and there. Remember that he was the ruler of this town, so he had the authority to do that. And then he killed the messenger of the Greek Empire, or the Greek emperor. And he said he was not going to go along with this apostasy. He was going to worship the true God. And so it was on. He and his five sons fled to the mountains, and they assembled a small army to fight against this invasion. And that's how the wars of the Maccabees began, which are described in the books of Maccabees, the last two books of the Old Testament, although they're not in the Protestant Bible. They're in the Catholic Bible, though. The war went on for a long time, and there are a lot of interesting stories about it in the books of the Maccabees. But today I wanted to tell the two stories, the story of Eleazar and the story of the martyrdom of the woman with seven sons, which we just read yesterday and the day before. In the breviary, Eleazar was a very old man. He was 90 years old. When the Greeks started putting people to death, unless they became pagan, the author of the book says that this caused a terrible suffering among the people. But he points out that God is merciful in allowing sufferings, because these sufferings and persecutions actually purified the Jews of their sins. He says it is a sign of actually of great love on the part of God when he punishes sinners and he doesn't just allow them to continue in their sins. And this is what God always did with the Jews. In the Old Testament, he always punished them in order to make them repent. It was not like with other peoples that God allowed to continue in their sins until they had a terrible debt of wickedness, and then God destroyed them completely. Anyway, the Greeks tried to force Eleazar to eat some pork in contempt of the Jewish dietary laws. And the Jewish religion, just as now, as you probably know, did not allow them to eat pork. And so the pagans figured that by making this man eat pork, they were making him abandon the Jewish religion. They would take this as a sign of apostasy. This is how they were enforcing this apostasy on the people. But the guards and the executioners who were enforcing this law saw that Eleazar was a very old man, and they seemed to like him, and they didn't want to kill him. And so they got some other kind of meat secretly that looked like pork, but it wasn't, so that it wasn't against the rules for him to eat it. against, it wasn't against the commandment of God. And they told Eleazar to eat that instead so that he could live. And he wouldn't break the laws of the Jews. I don't know what kind of fake meat they got. Maybe it was some sort of tofu hot dog or tofu bacon that we have now that looked really real. I don't know, but Eleazar refused. And he is a classic example of avoiding something even that is innocent in itself if it would be the cause of leading others into sin. Because people would think that he had left the faith. And he made a very beautiful speech in which he said, "It is not becoming my age to dissimulate, so that many young persons might think that Eleazar, at the age of 90 years, was gone over to the life of the heathens." He said, by this hoax, the young men would think that for a small amount of time in this short life, I had left the faith, and I would bring a stain and a curse upon my old age. For even though I would escape the power of man for a while, nevertheless I would not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither living nor dead. And so by departing manfully out of this life, I shall show myself worthy of my old age, and I shall leave an example of fortitude to the young men, if with a ready mind and constancy I suffer an honorable death for the most venerable and most holy laws." And so when he said this, he was just taken out and put to death. And he serves as an example for us that we should also be very careful about the example that we give to others. And be very careful even about things that are innocent in themselves, if people will misunderstand them and if it will give a bad example. The second story I wanted to tell was the story of the mother with the seven sons. This is a rather gruesome story, even as martyrdom accounts go. In fact, a priest friend of mine told me once that it's a little bit ironic that this grotesque and slightly bizarre story is read by the church around the time of Halloween every year. But that's just a coincidence. The martyrdom of the seven brothers is something beautiful and powerful, or as the stories that people tell for Halloween and the movies they show are just morbid and unhealthy, really. Anyway, there was a very strong and courageous woman who had seven sons, and they were arrested, and they were given the pork to eat, just like Eleazar. And they all refused, and so the king commanded the executioners to get a huge frying pan and heat it up. I don't know how large this frying pan was. It must have been enormous, maybe for making food for an army or some great group of people. But it was clearly much larger than the frying pans that we use. So they heated it up, and then they took the oldest brother, and they cut out his tongue, and they cut off his hands and his feet, and they cut the skin off of his head. And they threw him into the frying pan to be fried to death. And they did this horrible murder in front of the rest of his family until he died. But he encouraged his family to resist, and all of them, the mother and the seven brothers, as they watched this horror, were not discouraged. They told each other to hold fast for just a short time, and God would give them an eternal reward. And the king then successively did the same thing to each of the brothers, one at a time, with the rest of the family watching. And scripture tells us in each case of some beautiful speech or some response that each one of these brothers gave to the king about how they didn't care about their sufferings because the God who created heaven and earth would give them an eternal reward. And the whole time, their mother encouraged all of them to persevere. She said that God is the author of life, and he created heaven and earth, and he would restore their bodies, and he would unite them all again in heaven. And so, finally, the mother herself was put to death too. And the whole story is truly amazing, and it's just an incredible story of courage for the faith, and it's a great encouragement to whoever reads it. Scripture doesn't tell us the name of this saintly woman or her seven sons. We don't know what they did in their lives or anything else about them at all, except the glorious story of their martyrdom. It seems like they were just ordinary people like us. And yet their death is something that is truly superhuman. And it's supernatural too. Naturally speaking, that kind of heroism is beyond human ability. It would be easier for people to fly through the air just with their arms than to suffer this kind of torment for their beliefs, except for the help of God. And that's why you don't see that kind of heroism in any other area of human life outside of our holy faith. It is true that people give their lives for other causes. People die for their countries, that's true, or for some political cause, or for various other reasons. But to hear about people enduring this kind of torment, and even to endure it joyfully, as Scripture says that they did, is just unheard of. And this is a great proof of the truth of our holy faith, that it can make people do such things that otherwise are impossible. This is proof that these brothers had the help of God in their sufferings, because there's no other explanation. And that should encourage our faith too. Even though this took place in the Old Testament, it was still the true religion, even though it was, of course, in a somewhat different form than what we have now in the Catholic Church after the coming of our Lord. Another thing to think about is that even though we don't know how these holy men and their holy mother lived their lives, we can be sure that this was not their first struggle. They must have endured many sufferings before this and many temptations and been successful. Just like when you see a very strong man pick up a 100-pound weight, you know that this is not the first time he ever lifted a barbell. If it were, he wouldn't be strong enough to lift it. He had to lift a barbell hundreds and probably thousands of times before he was able to lift the 100-pound one. And they had to be of increasing weight each time. We can assume that these brothers had led their lives being careful to avoid the small temptations that they faced every day. And by doing so, they gradually increased their fervor and devotion to God until it was tested with the supreme test and they passed. So they gradually practiced greater and greater acts of virtue until they got to the point that they were able to do this with the help of God. But anyone can do this. Anyone can attain to the level of heroism that these people had, even if we are never fried in a frying pan like they were. This story is appropriate for All Saints Day because these saints are completely anonymous. They didn't do anything worthy of mention in the Bible except for their death. Apparently they just lived an ordinary life on the surface. But in reality, they were real, true heroes, as we can see in this story. We can just get a glimpse of how they must have lived their lives. And we can reach the same level of fervor that they had, too, without doing anything extraordinary, but by the same method that they must have used, which was to be faithful in small things every day, which will gradually strengthen us, just as it did with them. And just like the strong man gradually lifted small weights of increasing weight until he was able to lift something that weighed, you know, an enormous amount. So that little act of mortification or or a little resistance to a temptation of sensuality or laziness or impatience is a small thing in itself. But many small things combined always make something very large. And we can do the small things, even the weakest of us. We can all force ourselves to say the rosary at night when we're tired, or hold back an angry word, or smile at someone when we would rather maybe put them in a frying pan instead. And all of these things will gradually make us stronger without our even noticing it. And if we are faithful, they will one day make us saints in heaven too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.